Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 367. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about a university, airplanes, and the Pink City as we go to Toulouse, France. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. This episode of the Amateur Traveler is sponsored again by Viator. If in your trip to France you happen to be going to Paris, you can take advantage of Viator for things like a skip-the-line tour at the Louvre or at the Eiffel Tower, or a day trip to the D-Day beaches. Check out their tours at amateurtraveler.com/tours. Before we get into this week's interview, I do have three news stories for you. Speaking of things to skip the Louvre, they've been having problems with pickpockets, aggressive pickpockets who are harassing both the visitors and the staff members are so fed up that half of them walked out until the police give them better protection, which closed the museum. In our second of bad news stories, a woman owes $100,000 in fine after she left her $600 car parked at the Chicago airport for 3 years. Have you ever had that fear that you might not be able to find your car again when you get back from your trip? Turns out it was left there by an ex-boyfriend. And the scariest news of our three stories is a hacker claims that he can hijack a plane using an iPhone. He demonstrated at a security conference how he could take over the controls of a plane on autopilot using his iPhone from the plane. So much for the TSA allowing us to use our iPhones during takeoff and landing. For links to all three of those stories, check out the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. I'd like to welcome to the show Benny, the Irish polyglot, who's coming to us from fluentin3months.com and come to talk to us about Toulouse in France. Benny, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Today I'm talking to you from Berlin, but I lived in Toulouse for 3 months, so I've got a lot to say about it.
Excellent. And I'm assuming, because you are someone who studies languages a lot, if people haven't figured that out from both your introduction and from the name of your website, that you went there for 3 months to learn or to practice your French.
I had already spent 9 months living in Paris working as an engineer. And to be honest, I didn't really love Paris so much. It wasn't for me. And on top of that, because I was working so hard, I didn't reach such a great level in French. And I had the idea to investigate other parts of France. And luckily, for just €18, you can get a 5-hour TGV high-speed train from Paris to Toulouse. So without any plans at all, I grabbed all my stuff and I took a train. And then I moved everything to Toulouse to try and see if I could find a job and hang out there. And I ended up staying for 3 months. And I did indeed improve my French greatly. I had a much better opportunity to mingle with people there than I ever did in Paris. And it's definitely by far my favorite French city that I recommend people give a real chance to check out. The people are just so much friendlier than I've seen in other parts of the country.
Excellent. Now let's put it on a map first. Where are we when we're in Toulouse?
We are in the south of France, west of Nice, very close to the Pyrenees. So maybe just an hour or two from Spain. There are several ways to get into it. You are not far from it if you fly into Girona Airport in the northeast of Spain.
The Costa Brava portion of Spain.
Yeah, that's right. And you can also get another Ryanair cheap flight into Carcassonne, which I flew through once before. Its location is right there, just near the corner of where France and Spain meet on the east side.
Excellent. And what should we do and see while we are in Toulouse?
Right. Well, when I was there, I wasn't really there to be a tourist. I was genuinely living there. And what I think makes the city really unique is the student population. So if somebody listening is a very young traveler, what they would definitely appreciate is the party atmosphere. And there's a very large Spanish population as well. And this really gives it this Latin festive feel. So what you could do is you can head to Place Saint-Pierre, which is just by the Pont Saint-Pierre, the Saint-Pierre bridge. And this whole area has a bunch of bars and nightclubs and lots of really nice restaurants that overlook the La Garonne, the river that runs to the city. So that for me was the biggest pull factor of Toulouse. Is even though it's only the fourth or fifth largest city in France, it's actually the second largest in terms of university population. And one thing you do definitely have to check out when you're there is the university itself, because it's one of the oldest universities in Europe, founded in the 1200s. I love that aspect of the city, that you've got such a young population. Other than that, in terms of just nice things to visit, whenever I had friends come to visit me for a few days, my favorite part of the city to check out was the Jardin des Plantes, which is the botanical garden located in the southeast of the city. Just a beautiful, huge botanical garden with plants from all around. Lovely place to walk around on a nice sunny day. And that's another thing, is I would generally recommend people visit it in the summer, because it really is somewhere that you want to be walking around during the day. At nighttime, it's not so interesting unless you are participating in the student nightlife. It's also got some lovely cathedral and the basilica. I'd always go to the Basilique de Saint-Sernin, which is just by the center. And that's got a fantastic flea market on Saturday mornings to sell all sorts of great stuff there. But the best part of all, the most beautiful part of the city, is Capitole. Right in the center, you got this huge square in front of a government building. And it's just so gorgeous. It's a huge square right in the center of Toulouse, surrounded by cafes. That's the first place you probably want to go to in the city, because it's also where the tourist office is. You can get some maps and whatever. But one amazing thing about Toulouse, back then when I lived there, and also I just confirmed it's still going on now, is you can rent a bicycle for the day for €1.
Oh.
it's absolutely incredible. The whole city has these bicycle stands distributed all around. It's literally just €1. You have it all day long. You don't necessarily need the bike to see a lot of the walkable things in the center, like the Capitole and the churches I mentioned, but you would probably need it to get to the botanical garden and then to cycle alongside the river, which is obviously going to be a lovely place during the day. I just find that incredible that it's €1 for the whole day. And Toulouse financially has an interesting background, because it had such a booming economy from the aviation industry, because it's the seat of where Airbus is constructed.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
And the time that I was living there in 2005, I was lucky enough to, every few hours, whenever I looked up, I'd see the world's biggest airplane before anyone else would be seeing it, because they were doing test flights right above us. And another thing which I didn't do myself, but which was definitely highly recommended to me by a lot of people, is that you can go near the airport and you can actually get an aviation and space flight tour of Airbus. They have a guided tour of the whole area, and you can see how the 380, isn't it? The Airbus 380, how that's constructed. I wish I had seen that myself. That would definitely be worth a visit. But yeah, generally, I'd say you would start in Capitole, go to the tourist office to get some free maps, set yourself up with the bicycle, cycle around that area, cycle around the river, go to the botanical garden, cycle down to the university, because as I said, it's a one of Europe's oldest universities. And then just appreciate, because right in the center, there's a lot of cobble streets and really narrow streets that turn off into very interesting random places. I was lucky enough to be living right in the center, so I'd be walking around all of these all the time. It's just a fantastic city. And its second name is La Ville Rose, the pink city, which if you look at it from Google Maps, if you look at the satellite view, you will see it's kind of got this reddish tint to it. Because I forget what year it was, but the city had burned down to a certain extent, whatever it was, 500 or 600 years ago. And at that time, using bricks was not a very typical thing in construction in Europe. But Toulouse was forced to kind of push itself forward a little bit. So it got nearby rocks, which are kind of reddy, pinky tainted. And it just gives the city this amazing, unique architecture and color. And I just love it.
Now, you went to Toulouse in part to meet up with locals and to practice your French and to get more involved in daily life than just passing through as a tourist. What did you find in terms of sport or in terms of culture or whatever that stands out for you in the city?
Oh, they got very, very famous for their rugby.
Rugby?
It's got one of the best rugby teams in Europe. Oh, yeah. It's so prominent in the city. It's so part of the soul of the city that I remember whenever I'd get the metro, it's got a wonderful automated metro that runs through the city. And whenever I got that, there's a message on the doors as they open and close that, like in many places, let people get out before you get in. But while I was living there anyway, it was representing all of this by rugby players. And like it had a referee blowing his whistle if you were pushing your way through or if you were smoking in the area or whatever. So like you could see rugby is such a huge part of the city. And like even when they're speaking French, they would use like the English term fair play to say that you're doing something proper or whatever it is. But yeah, it's a very, very famous for its rugby. They're very passionate for the rugby. And if you have a chance while there, if there's a rugby match, it's definitely worth checking out. It'll be just seeing the passion of the crowd is just so fascinating.
You went down to Toulouse. You'd been in France for at least a year total in your life by the time you got there. What surprised you about this city compared to what you'd seen so far?
When I made it to Toulouse, well, it was like being in a different country because Paris, it was kind of just my default. I'm going to live in France, so I'm obviously going to do it in Paris. But the problem is in Paris, they can be very impatient with you because they're overrun by tourists. They're overrun by foreigners and they're very proud of the Parisian dialect of French. So if you're trying to learn French, it's actually not a great place to do it, Paris, unless you're in a kind of a protected shell of a private program or something. But I found it was so different in Toulouse because it's got this more of a Latin charm to it, because it's so southern. People are so much more open and they're so patient with you when you speak French to them. Their accent is very different. It's not like the Parisian accent. It's more nasal, a little bit more musical. And there'd be sentences like, I don't know, if you were to say something in French, something like la petite femme, which is the little lady. In Toulouse, they add an extra E at the end of these words. So it's like la petite femme. And it gives it this extra little musical quality. Parisians don't love it. They would look down on it a little bit. But when you try to speak a little bit like them, they just open up so much to you. I found it was such a friendly place. It was like being in a completely different country compared to my experience in Paris.
Interesting. What do the guidebooks say you should do in Toulouse that you think is a waste of time?
I'm pretty sure when I was trying to see what kind of touristy things to check out, they would say to get a boat cruise up the river. I don't think that's such a wonderful thing to do because the river, unfortunately, is not that beautiful. There are much more beautiful rivers in other places. And when I asked people who had gone on the boat cruise when I was investigating if it would be a good place to take my friends, they were pretty disappointed. It wasn't professionally run or anything. So I'd avoid the boat cruise. And even there are some lovely restaurants on the river, but I wouldn't really focus on spending time near the river so much, which, for instance, because it's a student city, there is a lot of drunkenness and parties and so on. So one unfortunate consequence of that is walking along the river, you do smell a lot of urine because there's kind of students coming directly from parties, relieving themselves there.
And you say they don't feature that in the guidebooks.
I don't think they would mention that in the guidebook. So I don't think if you're cycling along the river, you'll get to see it, get to see it quickly and whatever. I just don't think it would be a lovely thing to walk along or to get a cruise along.
Okay. But living there for 3 months, you learned about other things that I wouldn't have discovered from the guidebooks. What should I do instead?
Well, as I said, the student lifestyle. So something I was mentioning just before is the Place Saint-Pierre. Loads of restaurants and bars and nightclubs around there.
And do you have a particular one or two that you would recommend?
I'm not sure, but one thing I do remember is that the couchsurfing community was pretty strong when I was there.
Okay.
So I would kind of just see where they're going that night. It's kind of the likes of student things. They drift to different things depending on how and where they're going. And if somebody has a chance to stay there a little bit longer, there's a place just on the east side of Pont-Neuf. It's a student information center, not the same as the tourist information center. And that's got some amazing deals for accommodation. So if you could stay over 1 month, even just like I was only there for 2 or 3 months. And I walked into the student information center and I found a really good price for a place with a lovely view over the river right in the center. So in terms of living there, as I said, if you can try to go there in the summer. I was there like at the end of the summer leading into the winter. And I just find that, for instance, the center at nighttime, it doesn't feel very safe because there's a lot of poor people who use it to sleep around or whatever. So it's why you want to have more daylight hours while you're there to appreciate walking around. Because at nighttime, I think the best thing you'd want to do is to appreciate the student life.
Okay. You mentioned cafes and bars. When a lot of us think about French food, we think it's all the same, but there are definitely regional differences. Is there some particular dish we should order while we're in Toulouse?
Unfortunately, I'm not such a big help in this area because I'm a vegetarian. And at the time I was there, I was a poor student. I mean, I know at lunchtime, there are a lot of special offers for people who work in the center. Because like, as I said, the main industry is aviation. So you do have a lot of people who work in the city as well as a lot of students. So it just gives it that extra edge that if you were to eat, going to choose to be at lunchtime because you'll get a fantastic deal for even the best restaurants. But I just, unfortunately, I can't give anything specific. I just remember that the nicer restaurants that would probably have regional specialties would be near the Saint-Pierre Square.
Best day trip outside of Toulouse?
Well, I was lucky enough to, I had a very strange working position there. I was initially working as an English teacher within the city, but I was transferred to another place, which was actually a little bit far away. I don't think it would make a good day trip. But what I did find is the city is so well connected that you can see so many things. So, of course, I think people should definitely check out Carcassonne. Like I had to check that out because I was getting a flight from it. But it's just a beautiful castle and it's super well connected because you have Ryanair sponsored buses for whatever it is, a couple of euro that'll get you there and they leave every hour or whenever the flights are leaving. So I think that would be the priority for sure.
And you say castle, but as I recall, it's a walled city, a medieval walled city.
Yeah.
And one of the best preserved ones in France.
Oh, I didn't know that. I do remember when I checked it out, it took a long time to walk around it, but it was just such a beautiful, fascinating, interesting place. So I think Carcassonne.
Well, and I'm not sure you've heard the story behind Carcassonne, why we have this beautiful walled city, that basically there was this sect that lived in Carcassonne that almost like the hippies of the Middle Ages, and they started getting into a little more free love and things like that, and the Pope sent in troops that wiped them out. And so I think there was a reason why the city was unpopulated or depopulated for a long time, which is one of the reasons that it remains as a beautiful walled city for us.
Wow, that's insane. I would definitely have to spend more than the 3 hours I gave myself between getting my flight. But that would in itself be so worth a day trip, because it's a couple of minutes from the airport, so you can get a really cheap flight in, and it's very well connected to Toulouse itself.
Excellent. As we go to wind this down, I've got about four more questions for you. Anything else that you would want to add that people should really know before they go to Toulouse?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that's just randomly popped into my head, actually. There is a Tintin shop, a Tintin store, which really stands out.
And Tintin, the French comic book character.
He's Belgian, but obviously very, very famous in France. It was pretty funny that it's just Tintin stuff. It's Tintin comics and little teddy bears or whatever they are. That's a random interesting thing to fall into. But I think the best thing you could do is to just walk around without a plan, because there's so many of these little streets. And I just remember talking to the people in the restaurants, the student-y restaurants, and they were just so, so friendly. While you're there, you just have to try and speak to everybody you can. They'll be so open and so interested, because as beautiful as the city is, and even though it's a very big French city, it's just not that touristed, especially by non-French tourists. So people are very interested to hear your story. As I say, it's like the opposite experience of Paris, where people are kind of filled to the brim of tourists and they're not interested in talking to foreigners anymore. It's one of the most favorite places that I've lived in.
Excellent. To wind this up, a few more questions. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Toulouse?
That would have to be their accent. If you speak fluent French, it's a very interesting and very funny accent, because when they speak it, it sounds bouncy in a way. That's the best way I could describe it. Okay. If your French is good, you can't help but kind of smirk a little initially when you hear it. It's very endearing, but it does get you to giggle a little bit at first because of the way they speak.
Okay. You're standing in the prettiest spot in Toulouse. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
I am standing right in the middle of Capitole, and I'm looking at the government building itself.
Okay. And finish this sentence for me. You really know you're in Toulouse when what?
When most of the buildings around you are pink.
And if you had to summarize Toulouse, France in three words, what three words would you use?
Well, okay, that's very easy. La ville rose. The pink city.
Excellent. Benny, where can people read more about your travels?
They can check out fluentin3months.com, where I write about my travels with a very, very particular spin on language learning. For instance, the last project I had was to go to Brazil, of all places, to learn Egyptian Arabic, because I wanted to inspire people who can't travel, that it doesn't matter where you are and you can always learn a language. So if I can learn a language, if I can learn Egyptian Arabic deep inside of Brazil, then there are no limits. But then after that, I actually used that Arabic. I was traveling in Egypt for most of this year, and I used it to interview people, and you can see videos that I've uploaded to YouTube to really get a perspective on culture by talking to the locals themselves, not just limiting myself to the rich locals who would speak English. It's a kind of combination of encouragement for language learners and what I learn as a traveler who gets to use local languages. And I really feel it's not because I have a talent, because I only spoke English when I was 21. I'm an electronic engineer by trade, but it's about a much better attitude and approach to language learning. So I hope people will check out my blog to get that kind of encouragement if they're interested in learning a language, before they travel to the country.
Excellent. Well, Benny, thank you so much for coming on The Amateur Traveler and talking about Toulouse.
It was definitely my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
In news of the community, I could still use your help. I'm still looking for some people to fill out the survey, the demographic survey that will help me sell advertising that will support this show and allow it to keep going. You can do that by going to amateurtraveler.com/survey. We're almost there. I heard from Peter in Chicago about the recent episode on the south side of Chicago. He said, I was right about Pilsen, that the name came from Bohemian immigrants or Bohunks who settled there. And then he asked the question, when did the term Czech replace Bohemia or Bohemian? And so I looked up the answer to that, and the answer is that Bohemian is a word that traces back to that region and to people who lived there at the time of the Romans, and therefore it comes to us from the Latin, and Czech is named after a people who moved into that area in the 800s. So there you know. Also, I think Queen Elizabeth II stayed at the Conrad Hilton, now the Chicago Hilton and Towers, on Michigan Avenue. With that, I think we'll wrap up this episode of The Amateur Traveler. Remember the survey, amateurtraveler.com/survey, and also check out the Facebook community if you're not a member. We're constantly looking for people to review books and other things in the community, facebook.com/amateurtraveler. If you have questions about this episode, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at Chris2X. And as always, thanks so much for listening.
I got to see one more cathedral.